Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 2nd, 2022. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Bill's Story on page 7. At the bottom of the page, you will see us in paragraph 4 there. And it starts with, "They did not need to tell me," and then ends with, on the top of page 8, with, "But that was over now." Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Linda B., the 12 Traditions, Carla C., reading the text and support today, Stephanie L., Sherry Z., Robin P., greeting newcomers and getting contact information for sponsors is Leah S., and at the end of the meeting, Leslie W. will give you some announcements here of things that are going on for Vision for You. You don't want to miss it. Stay to the top of the hour if you can. The share ID numbers for Thursday's Big Book Study meeting for, let's see, what would be that last yesterday? I guess it would be Wednesday, June 1st. Yep, Wednesday, June 1st. The share ID number for the 10 a.m. meeting is 19018. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study meeting. That would be the 2nd, June 2nd, Thursday for the 7 a.m. is 19020. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and then to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, my OA fellows, and thank you for your service, Melanie. My name is Linda B. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Linda B. from Canada. I will now ask Carla C. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Carla C. from California, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, problem, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. It's Carla C. in California.
Thank you very much, Carla C. from California. Welcome. Welcome. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and then a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And note, please, this is the star 1 key function only for muting at all times if you're not speaking. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 7 at the very bottom. It starts with the paragraph, they did not need to tell me, and then moves over to page 8, ending with, but that was over now. I would like to ask Stephanie L., please, to read that paragraph and unpack it for us with her experience, and then we'll open up for the rest of the fellows to be able to comment. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Melanie, and good morning, everyone on the line. Stephanie L., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. They did not need to tell me. I knew and almost welcomed the idea. It was a devastating blow to my pride. I, who had thought so well of myself and my abilities, of my capacity to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. Now I was to plunge into the dark, joining that endless procession of sots who had gone on before. I thought of my poor wife. There had been much happiness after all. What would I not give to make amends? But that was over now. And man, do I relate with this. With Bill and this experience, because, you know, we, like, just a couple pages ago, Bill had arrived, and I related with that, you know, seeing myself a certain way, wanting other people to see me a certain way, you know, like, this pride that kept me trying to fix this problem because I couldn't show others' weakness and I couldn't accept the fact that there was no way I could solve this problem on my own. There was no diet, there was no personal trainer, there was no pill, there was no, I don't know, psychological solution that I could find. And believe me, I tried them all. And even when I came to OA many years ago in a face-to-face meeting, I bought every book. I still have all those books. I bought every book in OA. I like asked people what they ate. I wanted to figure out what was working and then leave. And, you know, all these years later, I'm still here because guess what? It didn't work, you know? And then even in these rooms, I considered myself a high-functioning compulsive overeater because I was raising three children as a single mom. I was building a career, you know? Everything was about, you know, how I appeared to others and what I could achieve. And, you know, it didn't work because here we go. You know, Bill says now I was to plunge into the dark because I couldn't solve this problem. And, you know, on my own in this disease, I am in the dark. But as we learn in a few pages, right, it does get darkest, but well, not even in a few pages. It's right on the same page. It gets darkest before the dawn because God, you know, I have to be drugged through the mud because I am so prideful and because of this ego that I have that I can fix things and that I can't show weakness, right? And so I'm drugged through the mud, not only with the food, but with character defects, you know, you name it. I'm not going to change until I'm in a tremendous amount of pain. But once I believe, once I get to that point where I think it's over, I'm in a place where I can come to God with humility. And God can come in, just one moment, sweetheart. God can come in and God can pull me out of that darkness. But damn it, if I don't get to that point until I'm in a tremendous amount of pain. And I guess I'm grateful for the pain because the pain brought me to a God that is all powerful, that was able to restore me to sanity. And yeah, and if you're in that tremendous amount of pain today, don't give up because it is darkest before the dawn, and this will work for you too. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Stephanie L. Stephanie L. is from California. Okay, so now it's time for others to comment on paragraph 4, the bottom of page 7, beginning with, they did not need to tell me, and ends on page 8, but that's over now. We're going to unpack that one paragraph today. We'd love to hear from others in their experience, strength, and hope. If you give me your first name, the first letter of your last name, and your state, I'll take a lineup.
This is Larry from California.
Larry G from California. Did I hear Patty?
Yes, Patty M from Florida.
Gotcha.
And Sherry from California.
Robin P.
Sherry
Robin
from
P.
California. And Robin P. Mm-hmm. Anybody else before we close this lineup out? Okay, let's go with this one. Larry G, Patty M, Sherry Z, and Robin P. First up, 3 minutes. Larry, followed by Patty.
Good morning, family. This is Larry G from California. Oh, wow. First of all, great share, you know, conference quality share. Thank you for kicking us off. Well, Bill is in a lot of pain, but he's not done yet. I don't know how much time has lapsed between this place he is in today and when Abby visits him, that we'll read later on, but he's not done. And you can't scare a drunk straight. You know, I had all the warning signs, a lot of things happened to me, but it never stopped me from taking the next bite, having the next binge. You just can't scare a drunk straight. I don't care what the doctors say to me or not say to me. It has little or no effect until I surrender. And this, we talk a lot about surrender in this program, which I really appreciate. I hope that the new people really get that message. Where I came from, we didn't talk much about surrender. In fact, surrender wasn't even necessary to go through steps. And I think we do a disservice to the new person by putting literature in their hands, like in the tools, or don't take the first compulsive bite, or begin taking the new person through the steps until they have surrendered. I had not surrendered prior to coming to A Vision for You. I remember a couple times going to my sponsor's house to do a fifth step, and I was stopped on the way to get my alcoholic foods. And when I finished, you know, I would stop again and get more alcoholic foods, and I would justify it by to comfort myself because I was feeling unwanted feelings. But today I have surrendered. I surrendered the type of surrender Bill, we'll see what Bill has. I just didn't, I had two choices. I didn't want to go on, and I didn't want to put the food down. I couldn't see living a life without the food or with the food, but somehow I surrendered, and I called out to God with dropping F-bombs and on my knees, and I guess God didn't care. God does not care how I pray. God answered the call, and here I am today. And I'm really grateful for my first sponsor. I got a great sponsor today. But my first sponsor, the first 60 days, I overate on hummus. And hummus was on my plan of eating. And I overate, and she shut everything down. 10 days, clear the brain up, Larry, do 10 steps, and get back to me after you have 10 days of absent eating. And I'm so grateful for that. It really taught me that surrender is the key. It's the single most important ingredient, in my opinion, and over years and on. Until I surrender, nothing happens. Nothing happens. And I love this program. I love you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Larry G. Next up is Patty M. for 3 minutes, followed by Sherry Z. in California. Hi, Patty. Quick star one. We'll open up your mic.
Oh, this is Patty M. from Florida.
Happy
to be here. Great paragraph. I'm abstinent, and the miracle is that I'm abstinent and everything else is just crashing down. I understand how he feels. Like, he just feels like the world is coming down upon him, and he's feeling a little bit sorry for himself, and that's okay, because that's human nature, and that's my human nature anyway. An addict's human nature is to get into poor me, you know, and I can get there, but I have to quickly pull myself out. Otherwise, I can't stay abstinent. I mean, that's really obvious in my thinking. Yesterday, I had my identity stolen. What a nightmare. And so today, all morning, I'm getting on the phone trying to get this and that and everything else. But I had an abstinent breakfast. And that, to me, is a miracle. And that I don't have to worry about binging, because this stuff is so overwhelming. I have a program that can tell me you don't have to today. You don't have to binge. You don't have to go down into that dark place. I've been there too many times. I don't want to go back there, you know. And I was so prideful. I thought that I would never have anything like this happen to me. Not me. I will not have my identity stolen. I'm too smart for that. Well, that's just the addict's ego. But I just wanted to chime in this morning and say I'm happy to be here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Okay, next up is Sherry Z from California for 3 minutes, followed by Robin P. And then we're going to open up for additional comments on paragraph 4, the bottom of page 7, beginning with "They did not need to tell me," and finishes at the top of 8. But for now, we're going to listen for 3 minutes to Sherry Z's experience with that particular paragraph. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. I'm Sherry Z from Southern California. Thank you, Team Thursday, and Melanie for leading. Just for context, because I love the study, this is his third, he has 3 hospitalizations, and it's the spring of 1934. And one page earlier, on page 6, he said, "Should I kill myself? No, not now." But now, just one page later, he absolutely wants to die. And to me, that is the progression of the illness. that is clearly that the illness is a mental insanity along with the physical allergy. And that was my experience. I was in these rooms for 31 years before I got recovered. And the illness progressed. And it didn't progress in a sense, because I was a high functioning, I love who said that, I was a high functioning compulsive overeater. But boy, did the mental insanity progress and the physical disease progress. And I had thought well of myself. I thought I could surmount any obstacles, just like Bill says. And then the amount of regrets. It was when what took me down was yelling at a Starbucks guy, lying to another parent, and food that quote unquote was abstinent, but it was alcoholic for me. And I just have to say that being in a vision has given me so much food neutrality, but it's also given me life neutrality, that I don't have this series of people that I need to make amends to. And that is freedom. Freedom. And I'm just so grateful that it's a Thursday morning, and what I did is wake up and studied the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous so that I can be free today. So thank you so much. Thank you. This is Sherry Z in Southern Cal.
Thank you very much, Sherry Z from Southern California. Next up is Robin T for 3 minutes, and then we're going to open up the lines again. Good morning, Robin. Quick star one, Robin, and we'll be able to hear you. Well, let's move on then to the next thing, and we'll come back to Robin. Anyone interested in commenting on paragraph 4?
Hi, Melanie. I could call.
I thought maybe so. We were going to wait for you, but in the meantime, I'm going to have you hold the phone there while I get Maureen and Leah. But you get to go first. Gotcha, Leah. Okay. Maureen's from Arizona. Okay, Robin, you get to go for 3.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Wow, it literally dropped the second I was about to start sharing. I'm Robin. Thank you, Melanie. Thanks so much for your service and everyone who makes this possible. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica, and so grateful to be on the meeting today. And wow, I've felt those feelings, and I'm so grateful to be not in that horrible despair today. You know, I start on Broadway. I've written and recorded albums. I've invented products. You would think I could do anything. I thought I could do anything. And that's that illusion, you know, that I'm powerful. And even when I've created things, that I'm powerful. And that's the illusion that had to be just squashed. And, you know, I hit a bottom where I just wanted to die. And I was bulimic. I was anorexic at times. I was a compulsive overeater. It's all the same disease. It's just different parts of that same disease. And I'm so grateful today that I'm happy, joyous, and free, you know, and that I get to live my life. And I don't hide, and I'm not in despair, and I'm not looking for the end. And I had all those feelings, and I don't have any of those feelings today. And it just shows the power of recovery, of working the steps, of working with others, of living in 10, 11, and 12. And believe me, it's not like my, you know, I mean, I'm looking over the ocean, you know, we hike and swim and boogie board, and I'm in a play here and a musical here for the first time in 40 years or no, 30 years. And, you know, there's a lot going on, and still I get to show up abstinently and be of service. And, you know, I have been working a lot of 10 steps. The cast is, there's a lot of personalities and a lot of just craziness. It's like a bad summer camp. And, you know, I just get to keep surrendering and trusting God and living in recovery and being a role model, you know, of this recovery. I'm not where Bill was, thank God. I am an example of recovery today. And so I just get to let God live blessedly, wonderfully, and perfectly through me. And you know, just surrender all. So God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thank you so much for being here. I'm sending you all big hugs. And I'm really grateful for the meeting.
Thank you, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Next up is Maureen S. from Arizona, followed by Leah S. And then in 6 minutes, we'll open up again for folks to comment on the last paragraph at the bottom of page 7. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning. This is Maureen S., a compulsive overeater in Arizona. And I just wanted to share, you know, the part that he talked about, that this seemed like he welcomed the idea of the fact that he was either going to die or, you know, end up in an asylum. I remember when I first joined OA, actually kind of started, I was working on a COVID unit in the hospital when COVID, you know, first, we didn't even know what it was in the beginning, but anyway. And I remember getting sick and being home and, you know, learning as time went on that, you know, people who were obese seemed to get it worse, seemed to end up with worse outcomes, ended up in the ICU. And, you know, everyone was saying, well, don't, you know, you're doing this to yourself. If you're overweight, don't eat sugar. It's just, you know, I remember just kind of giving up on myself and having that feeling like, well, this is it, you know. And I think that was the beginning of me kind of just giving up on myself because I tried so many times and even getting COVID really badly and working in such a high-risk environment wasn't enough, you know. I really had to become so desperate that there was nothing left for me out there. And actually, I was contemplating a bariatric surgery and talked to a nurse. And I knew intuitively that wasn't even going to work for me, that I would find a way to overeat on that. And my nurse practitioner suggested OA. And I'm so grateful to her. She didn't know anything about it except that a patient had been successful with it. And I'm just very grateful for it. And then, you know, this line on page 8 where it said, you know, as he was processing after he had given up and then realized, kind of in hindsight, there had been much happiness after all. And, you know, we take the good in our life for granted. And, you know, when we're in that state, all we can think about is the bad, you know, and how bad we are for failing and for eating and for, you know, trying something over and over again that's not working. But I am so grateful to this program that has brought me out of that fog. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Maureen S. Bill's story, page 7, paragraph 4, unpacking that paragraph 4, it's Jim. Gems that are there for us is where you're going to find us at this morning. So get prepared. Leah S. is going to share for 3 minutes, and then I'd like to open it up for additional comments. Good morning, Leah.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered in Brooklyn, New York. No, I always, when we near the page 9, I experience such a unbelievable vulnerability. And I almost relive my Ebby moment. And so we are still on page 7, going into page 8. I was to plunge into the dark, joining every one of those people that gave in and just gave in and gave up with this disease that I have. How dark is it before the dawn? How that realization and that awareness that came upon me when I finally understood what is this book talking about? The whole book is just talking about remembering my my day of how I want to really, I'd have that power with God's help to come out of this illness. And so, yes, Leah, admit it. You do have this illness. And then admit it. But my vulnerability wasn't allowing, my pride wasn't allowing my vulnerability to come through. And then I cried. I will never forget that day. Never, never, because it was the day of realization that this program is the answer to my food, to my issues, to my circumstances in life. Ooh, thank you, God. I don't have those ups and downs anymore. But I don't forget. I don't forget. And God help me, I never forget. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Leah. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 4, page 7 of the Big Book and Bill's story. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I'd like to pick a line up, please.
Wendy
Joy
V.
Michelle F.
Wendy V. And Michelle.
Joyce A.
Joyce A. Anyone else?
Hope B.
Hope B, is that what I heard?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay,
Jennifer,
let's start
T.
right out of it. Jennifer T. Okay. We're going to go with Wendy V, Michelle F, Joyce A, Hope B, and Jennifer T. We're going to start out with Wendy V, followed by Michelle. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. Can you hear me? Good morning.
Loud and clear. You betcha.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Wendy V from California. I love this because I'm listening every morning to Bill's story with you and listening to everybody share. And from what we just read, I'm watching how he slowly deteriorates through this story. And I'm reflecting back a few pages when he's golfing and he's got the impeccable tan of the well-to-do and how the alcohol is slowly sucking the life out of him. But if you notice, whether he's thinking positive and he's got determination and he's not going to jump out the window, or, you know, he's on this drive for success, the one thing that doesn't change, his thinking continuously changes with this disease. And it's starting to get negative and not as positive, and the determination to do battle is not quite as strong. But it doesn't matter, because this disease has nothing to do with your thinking. It doesn't matter whether you're thinking positively, thinking negatively. The one thing and the only thing that remains consistent up to this particular paragraph is he keeps drinking. So if he desires to drink or doesn't desire to drink, or it doesn't, it's not based on circumstances. Obviously, the life is getting sucked out of him and his circumstances are not looking so positive anymore. But guess what? It doesn't matter whether he's high, low, it's raining, it's snowing, it's sunny. There's only one thing that stays consistent. He drinks no matter what. No matter what at this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Wendy V. Not sure what your state was. I can't remember what it was. But. Next up is Michelle F. Michelle F. from Massachusetts. Good morning.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes, I am from Massachusetts, and thank you for your service. I guess what always strikes me when I read this is that moment when I gave up. And was standing on the curb outside Weight Watchers and thinking, well, that's it. I'm just going to be fat like my mother, and just how sad I was. But also that noticing that's not the same as surrendering. And it's self self-pity. I'm still in myself. I'm still feeling sorry for myself. And I think this is a great example of what it warns us about when we do step 10 about morbid reflection. And being morose is, I thought about my kids too when I was coming out of this illness and into recovery. And boy, I sure would like to go back and be a better mom all over again, but that was all over now. That's missing the point of amends. Amends is making it right now and doing the best you can right now with what you've got, you know. And what that means is I got to stop feeling sorry for myself. I love this character defect of self-pity. I can get on the pity pot all day long, but it won't get me better. Because, you know, if I stay in self and I'm selfish, I'm not doing anything to make my life better. I'm certainly not helping anybody else. And it's feeding my desire to eat, to practice my compulsions and my addictions. What I have to do is get out of that. And that means not thinking about myself all the darn time. You know, that's why service is part of this program and why, you know, it's 12 steps. If you don't do those things, those actions, you don't get better because your outlook on the world doesn't change, you know, when you're the center of your own universe. And it is very lonely. It's very lonely being in that spot. And, you know, I can get there in recovery. I was certainly there right before recovery. But I have hope today because I practiced these steps. I have a plan of action to get me out of myself and to connect me with the world again. And with that, I will pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Michelle F. Next up is Joyce A. from Colorado, followed by Hope. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning. Thank you for being here today. This is Joyce A. in Colorado. Gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. And this paragraph, well, many of them jump out at me, but this one really jumped out at me because it talks so much about surrender. And when I started the program in 09, 13 years ago, I faithfully did everything that I was told to do except trust. I didn't trust anyone else. And that was from my upbringing. I grew up with a couple sets of alcoholics, and so there was no trust of anyone else in my life. I was self-reliant. I was in self-control, and for as much as I could manage, I worked the program to the best of my ability while still staying self-reliant, and it wasn't until this last year, my last relapse, that I realized I can't do this unless I trust God. And I could at least trust God. Surely he could love me unconditionally. And so I worked really, really hard at the surrender to God, to surrender to his omniscience, to his power, to his love. And that has made all the difference in the world. I'm still not super trusting of everyone else. I'm working on that one. But I trust God now, and I have surrendered to him. And the program is working. I have over like 110 days of abstinence now, which I had never been able to accomplish before. My pride has been put in its little box. I put the lid on that one every day because I really felt self-reliant. I was self-control. It was self-everything. There was no one out there for me, and I was going to have to do life alone. But that is all changing now, and I am so incredibly grateful for this program. When my therapist first introduced me to OA, it was like someone had ripped the rug out from underneath me. I just cried, why can't I do this? Why, with all my self-reliance and all my self-control, can I not put the food down? And she just sat there real quiet, and she said, you're an addict. And it was like somebody pulled the rug right out from underneath me. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm just like my father. I'm just like my mother. I'm an addict. And I just chose food instead of alcohol. It was such a turning point for me and such a pride reducer. Oh my gosh. To know that I had to get in there and I had to have other people help me show me how to do this. I couldn't do it on my own. And with that, I'll pass. Oh, thank you. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Right on time. Thank you, Joyce A. from Colorado. Next up is Hope B. from California, followed by Jennifer T. from New York. Good morning, Hope.
This is Hope B. from California. I had my Bill moment of being dark about 2 years ago when I had ate some very sugary substances, and my blood sugar ended up being 470 because of the sugary desserts that I had eaten. And I ended up in the hospital, ended up coming home from the hospital on insulin 4 times a day and 2 diabetic medications. And it was really interesting because my doctor used that pretty much the statement, "You've turned to the dark side," when I went to see her.
Dark side.
Because I was just doing some very dark things with my body at that point. So I realized that I didn't want to be on insulin the rest of my life. And so I think at that point I made my surrender to my higher power and got to the point where, no, I don't want to be on insulin all my life. I started to work the program like my hair was on fire, turned over my will to God and started to eat properly and to stop taking the insulin. And I'm off of most of my blood sugar medications. I still have one left, but no longer am I on that dark side. You know, I am a changed woman because of the program. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Hope B. from California. Next up for 3 minutes is Jennifer T. from New York, and there's a possibility maybe for a 2-minute share after Jennifer. So keep alert. Stay tuned. Hi, Jennifer. Star one, please. Well, does anybody else want to tuck in there while we're waiting for Jennifer? Time's ticking. We don't want to waste any of it.
Alexis.
Hi, this is Jennifer in New York. Oh.
Alexis, we're going to put you on board there, but Jennifer, you go first for your 3.
Okay, thank you so much. I apologize. The phone was getting a little weird. I'm Jennifer in New York, recovered compulsive overeater, and, you know, this paragraph this morning just hit me right in the heart, and I just relate in so much with Bill here. You know, I thought so well of myself and my abilities and my capacity to surmount obstacles, and I was cornered at last. Now I was to plunge into the dark, joining that endless procession of sots who had gone on before. You know, I tried everything on my own self-will, and it's like, you know, many of us, I had tried everything that I thought I could do to solve the food, air quoting, problem, like in my life. And in the ensuing years, you know, I was just up and down the scale, obsessed with it, obsessed with food, obsessed with my weight, obsessed with how I looked, suffering so much. And I didn't realize the answer was in the big book, which I had, like Dorothy and the shoes, like I had the big book here in my house, like all the time I had the answer, but I just didn't know how to go through the steps. Like I knew how to be abstinent, but you can't stay abstinent unless you work the steps. And I finally realized that, and I got a vision. I got a step sponsor, and I worked the steps, and suddenly it was like my eyes were opened to why I was always at this, you know, getting to this bottom. And this last time was so bad. I was really thin, and then I ate myself back up to really high, and I was just like, I just want to die. I can't take this anymore. And I just decided, you know what, I'm going to try one more time. And I admitted my powerlessness finally. I realized that I could not, on my own abilities or my own self-will or my own power, do this, that I had to rely on the power greater than myself. I didn't want to do it, but I did it because I was desperate and fully surrendered and willing to go to any length.
That would be time.
Thank you. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for everyone doing service today.
Thank you, Jennifer T. from New York. Alexis F., you have about a minute and a half. Do you want that 90 seconds?
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you. I can relate to Bill's grandiosity. I was going to be a supervisor in the operating room as a nurse, and I was going to start out at a high salary, and it was my passion, and I was going to be so great, and I was going to be the greatest nurse, and I left nursing school to get married, and after I did that, I remained thin while my children were little. I didn't gain any weight, but then once they went to school and my husband took off in his career, I gained quite a bit of weight, and I went from 135 and eventually up to 300 pounds. I have grave emotional and mental disorders. Mixed with compulsive eating, it makes for a low-bottom binger. I thought I needed something for my nerves. I wanted food, cigarettes, and occasionally alcohol to ease my pain. I remember when I first came in 1976, there was a pamphlet on... Thank you.
Unfortunately, sorry, Alexis. Yeah. If you want to finish your thought, I'm sure we could squeeze it out. Oh, Alexis, don't go anywhere. Alexis, do you want to finish your thought in 1947?
Yes, there was a pamphlet on surrender, and I read it, and it said that the tools induce surrender. And I haven't been using the tools as much as I used to. I do a lot of writing and a lot of calling, and especially the newcomers, and I want to get back to that. And my abstinence has been 3 meals a day, but I'm overeating on fruit, so I just wanted to get that out of the meeting, and thank you for your help.
Thank you, Alexis F. from New Jersey. Thank you. Okay, folks, that would be wrapping up then the last part of the sharing and recorded portion of our meeting as we kind of move on to the last 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere. We still have a lot of good meeting left. But for now, I'd like to ask Sherry Z to please read from page 164. A book is meant to be suggestive only, to close out the recording. And then we'll move on to say the Serenity Prayer together. And then we'll move right into the unrecorded portion of the meeting of some good stuff. So have pen and paper handy. Hey, Sherry, good morning.
Good morning. This is Sherry Z from Southern California. Again, thank you to the Thursday morning team. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you have not got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.